We've been bringing a series of messages on faith is the victory. And I said to you before, and it's worth my repeating to you again, that faith is the victory overcomes the world. And we've been talking about, well, what is the world that we need to overcome? The chances are pretty good that none of us probably went to bed last night worrying excessively that someone was going to come in our house. We probably didn't worry about that, did we? Probably not. Probably no one worried excessively about, you know, getting up this morning and not having any food to eat. We probably didn't worry about that. That wasn't something we needed to be concerned about. Chances are pretty good that most of us, if not all of us, were not succumbed by worry about things like, you know, getting in an accident on the way over here. That's not the stuff that the world causes us problems with. But we do have problems. Some of the problems that we have that faith helps us to overcome, and we talked about some of them already. One of the big ones is anxiety. Anxiety, that's a huge one, right? That's a big one. How many struggle with anxiety? Oh, it's huge. I am one too. It's a dark place, huh? It's a dark place, especially when, you know, anxiety is such a big deal when it isn't something that you need to be anxious about, but yet causes anxiety, right? I mean, for example, if I was anxious, I left my car running, I could simply go outside and turn the key off and put it in my pocket, and my anxiety's gone. But it's anxiety about just general things. It's just anxiety. Who suffers from that stuff? Just, oh my gosh, it's just unrelenting, right? Well, faith is the victory over that. Faith is the victory over that. And so that anxiety is something that's in the world that we need to overcome. It's just something in there. And some of the other things that we need to overcome that are worldly is loneliness. That's another thing that's part of the issue of life, is being lonely or depression and things like that. Well, today we pick up on one of the worldly things that we struggle with as Christians is boredom. It's boredom. Now, boredom might not seem to be like a really big issue for you. Well, what's boredom cause? Well, I want to explore some things that boredom causes. And with a lot of us, we don't know that that's the root of the problem. Did you know that boredom causes more addictions than anything else? Mm-hmm. Boredom causes addictions. Boredom, there are more gamblers created every day because of boredom. Did you know there are more shopaholics created every day because of boredom? Fact of the matter is, there are some well-known institutions that capitalize on that because they're smart. The Home Shopping Network knows that you got nothing else to do but sit there and watch that screen and then what? Buy stuff. They're counting on that. They're counting on you have nothing else to do. There's nothing in your life except sitting there in front of that TV and what? Buying stuff. Home Shopping Network is one of the big ones. Does anybody know another name of another big one?
Amazon.
So how do you know that? I mean, I'm just asking. Oh, I pushed this button.
eBay too.
What? I do. Oh, I pushed this button. I love it. I'm not allowed on eBay. I'm banned from eBay. It's not because eBay banned me. It's because she did. One day I bought a Datsun 280ZX on Amazon. I mean, eBay. Oh, man. We flew all the way over to New Jersey. I picked that thing up. I came back with an Oldsmobile Cutlass because the Datsun 280ZX didn't have a transmission in it. So I'm not, she's no more eBay, right? She was not happy. That was a long ride home, Pastor Colin. A long ride home. And so boredom also causes marital infidelity. Did you know that? I'm bored with my relationship. I'm bored in my marriage. Causes more division in marriages than anything else because a spouse will say they're what? Bored. So is boredom a problem?
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Boredom causes more gamblers than anything else. Boredom causes more shopaholics than anything else. Boredom will cause more addictions than anything else. And boredom causes broken marriages because I am what? Bored. I'm bored. You know, the interesting thing about bored, the first word that comes before bored is what? I. Very personal. You're making it all about who?
You.
You're making it all about you. Every single time somebody says to me that word bored, it always has a prefix. It's called what? I. I am bored. I have nothing to do. I feel of no worth. I, and I is the problem. Because you're focusing on who?
You.
There's not enough stuff in this world to make you happy. There just isn't. There's not enough stuff in this whole wide world to make you happy. You could win the $1 million lottery and you will not be happy. Because there are people who win that thing and they're more broke today than they were than when they won it. Is that not a true statement? Well, I will be happy and not bored when I get a new job. No, you won't, because you'll want a raise. I will be less bored when I get a new car. No, you won't, because you're going to make the payments on that too. I will be less bored when I get a big stereo. No, you won't, because you'll want bigger speakers. I will be less bored when I get a drum set. No, you won't, because you'll want shiny cymbals. That doesn't count with bass guitar. Strings last forever. So let's turn to our Bibles, please, to Luke 9, 23 to 24. And let us explore boredom.
Then he said to them all, "If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me will save it."
So one of the big things that we need to do with boredom is to do what with ourselves?
Deny it.
Deny yourself. If you make it all about you, everything has to please you, the world has to evolve around you, everything out there known to man has to be having you involved in it, you will be what? Bored. Because it just is not enough stuff. And you don't have enough money to do it anyhow. And so Scripture says, if you want to follow me, you must what? Deny yourself. And that's one thing in our culture of 2014 we don't really want to do. Who wants to deny ourselves? Even the most righteous among you say, "Well, I do." Yeah, you used to do sometimes. You might do it sometimes, but how many of you do it all the time? None. I'll go first. I don't deny myself all the time. I don't. How many of you say, "Yes, I don't either"?
Yes,
I want something. Guess what? I'm going to get it. But fortunately for me and for Sissy, we are able to deny ourselves enough times that we are not bored. And in the denying of ourselves, sometimes we won't go do this so we can do that. We may not have to go do that in order for us to do what? This. We may not be able to stay home and watch a Stanley Cup because I need to be a Teen Challenge saving someone. We may not be able to stay home on Saturday because we need to go to Teen Challenge Saturday instead. We may not be able to go home tonight and watch the Pirate game because I will be at the Sons of God tonight. And so we have to be willing to go to a tractor pull. We have to be willing to say, what is my priority? What is that which is most important? These guys have to deny to go to a prison. You have to say to yourselves, what is most important? If you make you most important, guess what? There are not enough Stanley Cup games to make you happy. There just isn't. There's a very disappointed owner of a horse right now. Very disappointed owner of a horse. And that horse's name is called California Chrome. I'm sure that everybody in the whole world thought that horse was going to win that Preakness, right? Or was it the Belmont? I don't know which one. They were going to win the Belmont. He was going to win the Triple Crown. But see, they forgot to tell that horse who won that he was supposed to lose. They didn't tell the horse that won that he was supposed to lose. And they also didn't tell them other two horses that made that California Chrome come in what? Fourth. And the owner is saying, Sissy and I heard him, it's not fair. I'm serious. It's not fair because that horse that won didn't race in the other two races. Well, guess what? If he did, he might have beat your horse then too. Because he was the what? Faster horse. Help me understand that. And so the owner is saying, it's not fair. What's not fair? They all started at the same time. They said, all your marks. He said, go. And the way I see it, the faster horse won. How many agree with that? But it's not fair. Yeah, it's perfectly fair. Be thankful you won the first two. You might have lost those two. It's all in the way we process life. If you want to be a Christian, what must you do? Deny yourself. And for whoever desires to save his life will what? Lose it. What is your list of priorities? Why are you bored? Why are you bored? Well, the reason why you're bored is because whatever activity keeps your interest is no longer available to you. So therefore, you are what? Bored. Did you know the soap opera industry counts on your boredom? Oh, yeah, they count on your boredom. You have nothing else to do, so what do? Turn on those storms. What's some of the names of those soap operas? How do you know Days of Our Lives? Wait a second. You know all them too? He knows Days of Our Lives. Matthew 6, 19 and 21.
Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also.
I say amen to that. Now listen, when I tell you things, it's not in a comparative nature. I'm not saying things to you so you can say, boy, I'm just giving you things to think about. Things to think about. I don't know what it is you did yesterday. I'm sure whatever it is that you did was a purposeful thing. I'm not saying that it was not. Not saying that it was not. But what I am saying is Sissy yesterday, I saw her sitting under a tent talking to a lady that her and her husband were just out of addiction. Right, Sissy? Yeah. How long were they in addiction?
I think about 10 years.
10 years. 10 years addicted. 10 years addicted. And she's talking to them under a tent ministering to them. She wasn't bored. There was no way she was bored. No way. Yesterday, I was up there talking to folks from Teen Challenge, talking to that, I told you about that mom and dad, about that kid that was saved. I wasn't bored. I was not bored. Sissy and I, we were talking to that one young man from Teen Challenge. Remember, Sissy? He was talking about how he was clean for 4 years, then he messed up, and now he's only clean 2 months. And he's really nervous because he's going to be a staff person, and we were ministering to him. I wasn't bored. Were you bored? Were you bored? Now, here's my question to you. There are a lot of opportunities for you not to be bored. There's a lot of opportunities I can name for you. You want to hang around with us? You won't be bored. You may be tired, but you won't be bored. Where is your treasures? Where do you lay up your treasures? If your treasures are in hurting people, there are a lot of places for you to do some work. Help me understand that. If your treasure is in watching the horse race, it's over, dude. You ain't going to see it again until next year. That's just the way that it is. Help me understand that. It's the way that it is. Where is your treasure? Where are you storing up your treasures? Turn your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 25.
He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a short time. Hmm.
We want it when?
Now.
The fact is, we're getting so quick at satisfying our earthly desires. We want it when? Yesterday. We don't want to wait. We want it when. Fact of the matter is, MasterCard, Visa, Discover Card, count on that. Let me run that by you one more time. You see, MasterCard, Visa, and Discover, they count on you wanting it when? At 20-some percent interest. They're counting on you not willing to what? Wait. They want you to satisfy your earthly desires when? Now. So you can pay for it for the rest of your life. It's just the truth. I won't even ask a question even though I know the answer. I know some of you have those plastic cards that you wish you didn't have. Let's just be real. Some of us have them, right? What's the interest rate on a plastic card, do you think? You're a financial kind of person. What are they, 20% or something? What's that? 22%. 24%. And they are some of the biggest institutions in the United States of America are those credit card companies. Because they know that we won't what? Wait. And we're Christians. And we're Christians. True? Hebrews. Rather suffer the affliction with who? With the people of God. You know what might be better? What might be better than using the plastic? Is to go down to the homeless shelter. And go downstairs where the bunks are. And minister to some hurting guys. What's that going to cost you? Not a thing. Not a thing. Some of you ladies want to get involved with Sissy in the city mission from Newcastle. Minister to some homeless women. What's that going to cost you? Nothing. But when a woman puts her arms around you from a homeless shelter and cries on your shoulder because you're ministering to her, what's that worth to you?
Everything.
Everything. Everything. Where do you store up these treasures? John 15:11.
I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete.
What things? All those things we just got talking about. Two, three, four Sundays ago, we went down to the flea market. Was it like a month ago maybe? No, maybe quite, something like that. I'm going to tell you what. When we walked in there, and there were wall-to-wall-to-wall people. I'm serious. Wall-to-wall people. Shopping. And the guys got there first because we had the women's tea. I don't know, there might have been 10 guys showed up or whatever, folding clothes and putting clothes in a bag. And David, I saw you working really hard. And a lot of guys working really hard. Butch was working hard. Everybody, and if I name your name, it's not because I didn't want to. Scott and Eric and everybody. Working hard. Sonny was there. And Bob was there. Mike, working hard. What an unbelievable honor that is to serve in a church of workers. I'm serious. To work in a church of workers. And then the women showed up. Oh my gosh. And there was hardly anything left. That this woman was gone. There were people coming to me and saying to me, Pastor, do you know where the other shoe is? I need another shoe. I only found a left one. When's the last time you looked for a shoe you couldn't find? Think about that. I'm serious, right? I said that last. I don't know, ma'am, but I need the shoe. I need the shoe. Looking for a shoe. Because she didn't have any. I remember a time Sissy went and bought shoes for a little girl that had no shoes, came in the store barefoot. And we said to the mother, Sissy did. Sissy said to the mother, this lady, what size shoes does your kid take? And she said, I don't know. I'm serious. How long has it been since she bought shoes for her kid that she doesn't even know? That makes sense to you guys? What joy do you think was in Sissy's heart when she rode up to Target and bought shoes for that little girl and brought them back to her? What joy was it when she saw that mother put those shoes on that little baby? That girl said, oh, they're mine, mommy. What joy floods our soul. Where do you store up your treasures? Where are you storing them? He said these things so that our joy may be what? Full. I think a lot of us have joyful moments, but do you have a joyful life? I'm sure most of us in this room have some joyful moments. This brought me joy. Well, what about the other 23 and a half hours? When they canceled As the World Turns or whatever. Just saying. What do you do then? What do you do when, you know, your favorite TV program's gone? What do you do then? What do you do when you go to vacation, you come back and there's no more vacation for another year? What do you do then? What do you do when you used up all your days, right? Say, oh, there's no more days. Oh, there's no more days. Acts 20:35.
In everything I did, I showed you that by this kind of hard work, we must help the weak, remembering the words the Lord Jesus himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive.
And you know what? You don't need me to tell you that. Do you? How many of us in this room receive so much more joy out of giving than receiving? Don't we? Fact is, really, truly, a lot of us feel awkward in receiving. Don't we? We really do. We feel awkward in receiving. Like, oh, no. But tell somebody they got a need and let the church know all that need will be met in a minute. But how many of us would be willing to say we have a need? That's kind of weird that way. It's kind of skewed. Does everybody agree with that? That you receive more joy out of giving than in receiving? If I told you right now we're going to do a foot washing ceremony, and I said all those willing to wash feet line up over there, and all those willing to have their feet washed line up over here, guess what? We may not have anybody over there. Is that true? I'll have you all lined up. Oh, I'm willing. Get the basin out. Give me the towel. Oh, I am so ready. But how many people will be over there, do you think? How many say the line will be a lot bigger over here than it will be over there? Would that be true? How many say that's true? It is true. I'm willing to wash, but not willing to what? Be washed. Because we receive more joy out of what? Giving. That's the way we're wired. Well, guess what? There's going to be a lot of hurting people in this world. Look at what that says. I have shown you in every way by laboring like this that you must support the weak. Do you think the city of Pittsburgh has some weak people in it? Oh, yeah. And guess what? You are blessed. And I mean that. You are blessed to be in a small church that meets the needs of the weak. You are blessed to have the opportunity to serve if you want to serve. You are blessed to be in a small church that we have so many opportunities for you to get involved, not be bored, by serving the weak. We have opportunities for you. Homeless shelter, free market, Kairos, prison ministry, Teen Challenge. Oh, we got ways for you to serve. If you have the what? If you have the time, we can help you serve. Because there will always be the weak, won't there? There will always be the sick. There will always be those less fortunate than you. Turn in your Bibles, please. Mark 16:15-16.
Again, this is Jesus speaking. He said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned."
Yeah. Guys, there's one thing that Christians should never be, and that's what? Bored. I'm serious. There's one thing a Christian should never be, Leonard, and that's bored. Now, people who attend church might be bored, because nothing to do till when? Next Sunday. They might be bored. I mean, people who just come to the worship service, Pastor Colin, they might be bored until what? Next Sunday. But Christians, born again, Bible toting, scripture quoting, card carrying, blood bought, sanctified, Jesus freaks, should never be bored. There's always somebody to serve. Is that not true? Yoshiko? There's always somebody to serve. Always something you can do. Might take a little bit of your what? But you're bored, so you have it anyhow, right? I mean, if you're bored, you got some time, right, Bob? If I sit, I'm serious, guys. If I sit home and I go like this, I'm so bored. There's nothing to do. I am so bored. me. I'll get you busy that day. Call me. I'll give you some stuff to do. I walked into a hospice the other day. I walked into a hospice to go see somebody, right? And I walk into this patient's room, somebody. And this person's at Family Hospice in Lawrenceville. And this person is lying in bed and she is actively dying. And I walk into the room and there's a young girl sitting here next to the dresser. And I went, oh, hi. And she said, hi. I said, I'm Pastor Tom. Well, nice to meet you. I'm Betty. Well, Betty, nice to meet you. Are you a relative? No. Oh. Do you work here? No. Well, geez, what are you doing? Well, I don't want her to die by herself. I'm just keeping her company. Well, what do you do? Well, I go to Carlo, and I have some free time, so I just bring my books, and I don't want her to die by herself. No, it's her. I'm just going to sit here with her. Hey, boy, I got things for you to do. I got things that you can do. And you don't need a doctorate degree in theology. You don't need to have a pastor's license. You just need to have a willing heart and some time on your hands. Now, if you say, I'm bored, I know you got the time. You just don't have what? Well, I just didn't want to go there, I guess. Matthew 16:26.
What good will it be for a man if he gains the whole world yet forfeits his soul? Or what can a man give in exchange for his soul?
Are you making everything about you? Everything about you? Well, if you are making it all about you, then you got your rewards. You got them. If you're serving you, then you got your rewards. Hey, way to go. Good job. Good job. But if you're serving others, I mean, you're gaining the whole world in spiritual ways. Spiritual ways. You know what, guys? They will never erect a statue. Oh, by the way, somebody mentioned you, Pastor Ed. Sissy, who was it that asked if you were married to Pastor Ed? How'd that go? They had us. I was too confused.
Some of us ladies went to a concert on Friday night at Hosanna Church.
And I saw a face that I recognized. And I went up to the table with this family and I start talking to them. And she said, oh, I remember your husband. And I'm like, yeah. She goes, yeah, he's that cop. And I said, no, he's not a cop. Well, then he's a security guard. And I said, no, he's not a security guard. And she goes, well, wait a second. You work at the hospital, right? And I'm like, no. I said, that would be Ed Rogers. That's him, Ed Rogers. He's not your husband. And I'm like, no, that's not my husband.
The other pastor is my husband. And well, Pastor Ed's a pastor, right? I mean, yes, he's a pastor.
Pastor, right?
So we're changing the world, not only by what we say, but who we have become. Everybody in this room has a past. We all do. And people know us based upon our what? Our past. Ed Rogers, that cop. Yeah, that was him. That was him. He's a pastor now? Sometimes people ask that with inquisitive looks. Like, he's a pastor now? Yes! He's a pastor now! How many know who you have become ministers to others too? Just as much as who you were, who you now have become. Let's turn our Bibles, please, to 3 John, that's the letter of John, verses 2 and 4.
Dear friend, I pray that you may enjoy good health and that all may go well with you, even as your soul is getting along well. It gave me great joy to have some brothers come and tell you about your faithfulness to the truth and how you continue to walk in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth.
You know, I only have time to do one more, and I'm going to skip ahead, Sissy, to Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13. Find your Bibles, Ecclesiastes 12, 13. This would be a great way to sum this all up.
Okay, now all has been heard. Here is the conclusion of the matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man.
That's it. That's it. That sums up, doesn't it? That kind of concludes it. Doesn't it? That kind of concludes it. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments. That's all you need to do. What are some of His commandments? Love those who persecute you. What are His commandments? Love your enemies. What are His commandments? Do unto the least of these because you did it unto me. That are His commandments. That's what we're supposed to do. So conclusion is what? Fear Him. If you don't do these things, fear Him. Keep His commandments. And you will not be what? Bored. If you are bored with your life, I have some people I want you to talk to. I'm very serious. If you're saying to me right now, Pastor Tom, man, I am so bored. I want you to talk to Mark when the service is over. He'll hook you up. I need to talk to Yoshiko when the service is over. She'll hook you up. I need you to talk to Glenn about the tractor ministry. He will hook you up. I need you to talk to Sissy about getting involved in some ministry with women. I want you to talk to some people, to Robin and Colin, about the prison ministry, to the Kairos program. I can assure you, we got some stuff for you to what? Do. And you can always talk to me. I got a whole list of things you can go do. So if you are bored, I got good news for you. Guess what? I got some stuff for you to do that will change your heart. And not only that, it will change the world. Let's pray. Father, we thank You so much, Lord, for the opportunity to be service to You. Lord, our faith is the victory over boredom. Lord, there's not one brother or sister in this place that has the reason to be bored. Oh, Lord, there is a whole world of ministry available to us, and we don't have to go to seminary to do it. We don't have to have $1 million in the bank to participate. Oh, Lord, there are things that we can do to be less bored. Our hearts can be changed overnight by changing others' hearts. Lord, help us to use more time wisely, to have faith in Jesus more broadly, to be able to affect a change in people who need to hear the truth. And all of God's people said,